We begin in the middle of the story, just like Christmas does in your life. The long-foretold event finally comes to pass in the birth of Jesus. Generations have waited for this moment, and with his birth, a new era of hope and healing. You see, the nature of hope is that it is a longing for the not yet realized. You may not know what Christmas means right now, just like the Magi didn't know exactly what the star meant, only that something important was happening. And still a star leads us to Bethlehem, where the hopes and fears of every year come together. And a child's birth gives us hope for what is possible.
I never really saw the stars until I saw them on the Salado Creek Trail Greenway in San Antonio, Texas. I was riding my bike along the greenway and I rode past McAllister Park, and I noticed little clusters of people kind of gathered around these tall, skinny, black devices pointed up towards the heavens. And surely enough, there were these massive telescopes, and I started to slow down almost enough to fall over, but I really wanted to stop and take a peek in one of those telescopes, but I just couldn't get the courage enough to stop and ask. So I kept pedaling on and I kept revisiting that spot throughout the weeks, hoping that I would see them show up there again. They kept coming back, and those clusters of people never really showed up again until one night they did again. And I thought, for sure I'm going to stop, I'm going to ask them if I can take a little bit of a glimpse into one of those telescopes to see what all the fuss was about. So I walked over, and a gentleman in his 40s welcomed me in and allowed me to take a peek. These little flakes in the sky, it was about dusk, these little flakes, they turned into something altogether different. I could see features, I could see shapes, and it took my breath away. I didn't want to be impolite, so I pulled away pretty quickly. But I was captivated by that moment. The stars, the beauty of the stars, that cause us to raise some of the biggest questions that we have in life. Who am I? Is there something more out there? Is there someone more out there? For centuries, human beings have been looking to the stars. They've mapped them. They've measured the distances between the stars, and many people look to the stars. Many people have, for signs, for omens. Other people throughout the centuries have looked to the stars for the hope of guidance and navigation. And still others just look to the stars with questions. Is there something more out there? It's amazing, even today, with all the scientific knowledge that we have, we still look to the stars. We still look to the stars. And we get excited every time a probe lands on Mars. We get excited when a probe lands on a comet, because it's a whole new, amazing, exciting frontier that lies ahead of us. The beauty of the stars, it stirs in us, invites us to hope for something more. But back on Earth, it seems like there's fewer and fewer reasons to have hope. Perhaps there are some of you here tonight who are going to be spending the holidays with somebody that's not very easy to spend the holidays with. Maybe that's because of a broken marriage. Maybe that's because of some words that you said to that person a long time ago, or some words that that person said to you a long time ago. Maybe it's because of some other hurt or hang-up that you have in that relationship as well. This time of year, we get really busy, and perhaps you're weighed down by all the busyness that's going on. You have grocery lists, you have to-do lists, you have Christmas lists, when all of a sudden something totally sidetracks you, like a crashed computer, a crashed car, a cancer diagnosis. It's easy during these times to stop asking the question, is there something more? And start asking the question, where is God at in all of this? How can we find hope in the world? Why would we look out there when it doesn't feel like God is down here with us? Well, as we try to answer that question tonight, I want to invite you to open up to a very ancient story in Matthew chapter 2 and follow along with me as we consider the story, the Star of Bethlehem and the story of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the East came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Magi were religious figures back in ancient times that tried to interpret ancient writings. They would try to interpret dreams, or they would even interpret signs and omens in the sky. Now, our Magi, they aren't Jewish, but they were very familiar with the Jewish prophecies because not that long ago, in their land, they held a bunch of Jews captive. So they probably were very familiar with the prophecies, including a prophecy like this one from Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, that says this: "A star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel." But I imagine that the Magi, they didn't have very many reasons to look up into the sky in those days. The Magi were from the East. They were probably from a land known as Persia. In the whole world during that time, the Roman Empire cast its shadow over the whole world. Persia just happened to be free during that time. But there was always this tension with peace. Rome was always on the attack. And there were some questions during that time whether they were actually free at all with some of the deals that their king had made with the emperor of Rome. So you can say that they had some job insecurity at the time. Even more than that, the Magi were always under the fear that if they gave the wrong interpretation to a king, or they gave an interpretation to a king that he didn't like, they were always in fear of losing their life or something like that. So I imagine in these days that the Magi were asking some hard questions. Do we really have a place here? Is there really somebody watching out for us? But perhaps one night, one Magi was restless in bed. And the curiosity had stirred in his heart so much that he couldn't stay there. And he thought he would take one more look up at the sky, so he crawled out of bed. He walked out into the portico, and he looked up. And there, sure enough, was a star that he did not recognize. Something different. A new kind of light. Something new. Now, the stories about the Star of Bethlehem normally have the story of the star. It's already moving. But in the text it says, they saw the star when it rose. And when it rose is a technical term that simply means that the star is on the normal course of the heavens, of every other star from east to west, like the sun and the moon, because of what we know to be the spin of the earth. He didn't see the star move, but he saw a new star in the sky. So he gathered his Magi buddies together. They pulled out their ancient writings. They pulled out their ancient maps. They started to look and started to check. And sure enough, this was the Jewish king's star. The Jewish king's star. But it was something new in the sky. And they hadn't seen much light back in those days. So they were stirred to a little bit of curiosity. Should we go and visit? Should we pay our respects to this Jewish king? One of them asks. Another one says, "Well, why would we pay respects to a foreign dignitary?" And since there hadn't been much light in the sky back then, since there hadn't been much new, they decided finally, you know what? We're a little curious. It's worth the risk. So with the blessing of their king, they decided to go pay respects to this new king that was appearing in Jerusalem. And that's where Matthew, he drops us right into the story. The Magi, they appear in Jerusalem before King Herod. And they tell King Herod that they want to go worship this new king. Well, in the original ancient language, that word is proskuneo. And that original word can either mean worship, like a deity, or it can mean pay respects, like a king. Well, at this point in the text, at this point in our story, they probably are only going to pay respects because all they think about Jesus right now, the star, is that there is a king here. At least that's where the story starts. Matthew continues. Matthew says, "Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So the Magi, so Herod, to start off, Herod is obviously not the good guy of this story. When he hears that there's a new king in town, he's a little bit threatened. And the Magi, they aren't stupid. They start to realize that something is potentially terribly wrong. So I imagine that at that point they started to doubt. Here we are in a foreign country, in a place that we aren't used to. We came all the way here, and obviously there's not good news. So I imagine at that point they had a conversation, and some of them started to doubt. Should we turn back? Should we go the other way? But curiosity caught a hold of them, and they wanted to see more. So they decided to make that 6-mile trek from Jerusalem south to Bethlehem. And that's when something interesting starts to happen. They see that little star in the sky. Two things happen that are interesting. First, they see that star in the sky that is going from east to west. You see it go south, leaving its companions. Look at that star we were talking about. Look at the star that led us out here, that got us into all this trouble. It's moving. The Magi are excited. They're filled with joy. God rewarded their curious step with a little bit of movement in the sky. And the Bible says that they were overjoyed. I imagine that at that point, the Magi started to feel like somebody was watching out for them. That somebody was actually near and by their side and for them. The second interesting thing that happens is when they actually arrive at the home where Jesus is at. Now, we said at the beginning of our story that when they first encountered Herod, they announced their intentions. They wanted to come and pay respects to this king. But here, Matthew says the same word that they came to proskuneo, which is translated worship here, and bow down. Remember those two words, bow down and proskuneo, are paired together. Always in the Bible, that means something different than pay respects. It means worship. We don't really know what happened. Matthew doesn't let us in to all the details. But when they encountered this young king, something supernatural happened in their hearts. These esteemed figures from the east, they were brought to their knees. He wasn't a king that had royal garments. He wasn't being groomed in a royal palace, just a humble home in a simple town in Bethlehem. And something with that encounter, there was something different about this king. They came to pay respects, but they ended up worshiping. The Magi had every reason to be cynical back then. They had every reason to doubt. But one curious step after another led them to hope. And the same could be true for us. In the face of cynicism, we can find hope in Jesus by opening our hearts and taking one curious step at a time. Just one curious step after another. Chances are that there are some of you who don't feel very near to God tonight. Maybe it's because you've had one disappointment after the other. You just feel them mounting up, and you just don't feel like God's close. I want to invite you tonight to take one curious step, just one curious step towards Jesus by starting to look at some of the little things around you as gifts and signs that Jesus is near. Maybe that's the smile of a child. Maybe it's a really beautiful sunset that you see. Or perhaps it's the imagery and beauty of the night sky. At any given point on Earth, did you know that you can see about 2,000 stars in the sky with the naked eye as long as it's a clear night. But there are 400 billion stars that we cannot see. That's almost as many stars as there are ice cream stands and pizza places in southern New Hampshire. Almost. The stars are really unfathomable. They're, when we think about their size, the star, for instance, the star Betelgeuse that's in the Orion constellation, we think about its diameter and we compare it to the sun. The diameter of Betelgeuse is over 1,000 times larger than our own sun. But the stars can be unfathomably small, too. Stars that have collapsed in on themselves, like neutron stars, can be as small as the state of Rhode Island. And neutron stars, they can be really dense as well. One spoonful of a neutron star can weigh 1 billion tons. That's as much as you would weigh if you ate at every ice cream stand in a place in southern New Hampshire. Can you imagine what the night sky would look like if it was completely dark? Einstein said that one of the most important questions facing humanity is the universe friendly? Is the universe friendly? The dark sky is a very, very lonely place. But God has placed 400 billion pinpricks of light to remind us we're not alone. The Bible says that God created the stars. It says He created everything in the heavens and everything on earth and in the heavens by Jesus, mysteriously. And that includes the stars. But Jesus is God's artist. Jesus is the artistic hand of God placing each star in the Pleiades. He is the one that God used to paint the Orion constellation. And He is the one that God uses to sculpt the Big Dipper. Look up to the stars and remember that Jesus is near. He's close. Even when sometimes it feels like He isn't. Chances are that there are some of you here tonight that you look up at that big expanse and you wonder if God has a purpose for you. Does God have a purpose for you? Can God use you? The last people in our story that Matthew's readers would have expected to use were Magi. Magi were from anti-Israelite territory. The people that the Magi came from were the people that put the Jews into captivity. Not only that, the Magi, they ate things and they dressed in ways that would have offended Jewish sensibilities. Even more, they practiced things like divination and sorcery that the Old Testament clearly outlawed. So these were the most unexpected heroes of the story. God used outsiders and He made them the heroes of this story. And if God did that to these Magi, God can do that for you. Maybe you come from a place, maybe you have a hard past, or maybe you carry some shame, or maybe you just feel different. Well, God can use you to be the next chapter in His story. Finally, maybe there are some of you here who just feel like you want something more out of life. You look at the world and you say, this doesn't feel like enough, what's around here. I want to encourage you to take one curious step, just one curious step toward Jesus tonight by inviting Him to show you Himself, by inviting Him to show you Himself. Chances are there are some of you here who are maybe find yourself a little bit skeptical. Maybe you find the idea of being a follower of Jesus kind of strange and uncomfortable. The Magi, when they started their journey, they didn't start their journey bowing their knees and bowing down on their knees to Jesus. They just started their journey with some curiosity. And that's a wonderful place to start. One of the most honest things that anybody ever said to Jesus was, "I believe, but help me with my unbelief." And that's a really wonderful place to start. If you find yourself there, I encourage you to grab a Bible in the back. Just take it. Read through one of the Gospels. Ask curious questions towards this Jesus. Get to know him. Read about him. I encourage you to become a part of a local church that will accept you and celebrate your growth along the way. And receive your questions, the hard questions that you have, and wrestle with you if you find yourself there. I cannot promise you that God is going to bring stability to your relationships, that God is going to bring stability to your work-life balance, or that God is going to bring stability to your finances. I wish I could, but I can't promise that. Jesus is not a promise that everything is going to be okay today. But Jesus is a promise that we can be better and we can feel better, even though everything around us is not okay. And we can receive that by just taking one curious step towards Jesus. Before I became a pastor, I was a substitute teacher for many years. And at the beginning of that journey, at the beginning of that time, I found it to be particularly dark. I was having trouble with relationships through no fault of my own. Even though I was surrounded by people on a daily basis, I felt disconnected and kind of just alone in the universe. There was a little curly blonde fifth grader with glasses that came up to me one day and surprised me with a question. She was the quiet type, but not the shy quiet type, more the content quiet type. She surprised me with this. She said, "Are you related to so-and-so?" Which was my uncle who had just passed away recently. I said that I was. And she kind of looked at my desk and looked back at me and said, "My family and I spent a lot of time at the nursing home. And we got to know him. We saw him there. And I just wanted to tell you that he was a very nice man." Just a simple little word. I thanked her. She smiled and sat down back at her desk. God stirred a little fifth grade girl to come up to me in a dark place, not to fix all my problems, but just like the Star of Bethlehem, to appear and give me something to cling to remind me that God was saying, "You are not alone." I looked down at the roll to remember her name, and when I saw it, her name just leapt off the page. Her name was Hope. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful night that you have given us. You gave us your Son. You gave us a Son in whom we can find hope. I pray for every soul here who is facing personal challenges of their own on this night. It could feel really dark at this time of year. I pray that show them the stars. Show them those little lights all around to remind us that you've given us a gift. It's not the way that it's supposed to be, but God, you provide us with something to endure in these difficult times, and that's your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray for curious hearts that you would move in them and provide them with the answers that they're looking for. In Jesus' name. Would you please stand with me? Grab a candle. As we close our service, we're going to be singing Silent Night. It's a silent night, but there's hope in this night. And as we light these candles and as we pass this flame around one another, it's going to look a lot like the stars, a lot like those reminders that God has given us hope and breaks up the lonely, dark space in between. So participate and join with you. Leaves your candle and goes south towards Bethlehem, I'm going to freak out, to be honest with you. But that star wasn't just given to the Magi, it was given to us, too. Thank you for joining us tonight. Have a Merry Christmas.